Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network. I can finally say it, Trev.
I heard you had it. I could hear you have a smile in your voice as you introed this podcast because you were about to say those words.
For the first time and the first of many podcasts, I introduce us from the Draft Network. If you haven't heard, that is the new site, the new draft site that we are launching on August 6th. It is going to be super exciting. Man, where to even begin? We've said a lot on Twitter so far. If you guys follow us, which I think most of you do, you've probably seen most of our announcement on there. It's going to be a site that is really comprehensive in the way that it covers the NFL draft. It's going to have a little bit of everything, but mostly it's going to be fun. It's going to be interactive for fans. You're going to be able to mock draft as the GM of any team that you want to be. You can build your own big board on a feature that we're going to build on the site. There's going to be a prospect database. You can get educated on a vast variety of prospects. You're going to see scouting reports from all of us. Of course, a lot of the type of content you came to know and love at NDT Scouting, but just bigger and better. And I think we've got the perfect team to get the job done as well, Trev.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, this has been a process that's kind of been in the works for the last 7-8 months now. Really kind of as almost, I don't want to say it's been easy because there's been a lot of ducks that we've had to get in a row and a lot of things that we've had to figure out, but the enthusiasm and the passion to do this, to launch this new scouting department, new scouting website from the top to the bottom has always been there. There's passion throughout this company, and I'm really excited because we're going to give you guys a way to experience the NFL draft like nowhere that exists.
Right.
We're going to take really, like John was kind of mentioning there, the best parts from around the web, and we're going to bring them into one. We really are. And so I think we're going to do it better than anybody else is doing it out there. We're going to do new things. We're going to be innovative. We're going to be on all kinds of different platforms. We're going to be doing fun stuff with YouTube and Twitch when it comes to interacting with prospects, you getting to know them, who they are off the field. We're going to have a lot of really fun ideas there. We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff on social sites. And of course, bringing you the backbone of why you listen to this podcast, why you read our stuff with scouting reports and prospect rankings, big boards and mock drafts. But we're also going to give you the tools to be able to do that yourself because that's ultimately what we want to do, right? We're educating. We're teaching people how to be able to do it themselves so that when they watch games, they can formulate their opinion better and they can enjoy the game and, of course, the draft process a little bit better. And so if you guys aren't following on Twitter, at Draft Network LLC, that's where you can find it all. And we'll basically be pushing that out at all times. So we appreciate all the support that everybody's already given us. It's been crazy, man. It's been overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's humbling. All that kinds of stuff. I'm just really excited.
Yeah, our accounts have kind of blown up, and the Draft Network account has blown up. But yeah, that's at Draft Network LLC. Make sure you guys give that a follow. It's going to be awesome stuff that's going to be coming on that site. And again, the site itself drops on the 6th of August. So that's what, a little over a month away, just a tad over a month away. So a lot of work to be done until then, but moving in the right direction with all of it and just really excited about the direction overall. And we're I know a lot of people are going to have questions. I think, Trev, why don't we just have people just, tweet us questions or whatever throughout the week, and I'll put out a special post for it on Thursday, and then we'll do Fan Friday like we always do, but then we'll also answer a lot of your guys' questions about the site, provide as much clarity as we can on Friday's episode. That'll give you guys all week to kind of think of questions, send them out to us, and we'll save them as we see them throughout the week and answer as many as we can on Friday about the new site.
Yep.
Okay, we're talking about we got to get back to our regular scheduled podcast, what we had to talk about today, which was the AFC and the rookie impact that we're finding in all the divisions across the AFC. We did it last week for the four NFC divisions. This week we start with the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills, and Josh Allen. When's he going to start, Trev? When is he going to take the reins away from Nathan Peterman and A.J. McCarron and prove that he is worthy of playing in
the
NFL?
Who do you think starts week one?
Peterman. I think Peterman starts week one. I think Josh Allen takes over at some point, though. He's going to play. He's going to start this season, right?
Yo, there's no doubt about that. I mean, Nathan Peterman's bad.
Yeah, and whether he's ready or not is less of the point. Again, look at DeShone Kizer. Was he ready? No. Was he the best option in a terrible quarterback room? Probably. Yeah. That's probably the situation in Buffalo, you know? I mean,
yeah.
There's going to be things Nathan Peterman might do better right away, but
we talk about fit and situation all the time, and a lot of times when we talk about that, we talk about coaches and scheme fit and that kind of stuff. But Josh Allen could not have gone to a worse spot, right? I mean,
because no one, could have. Yeah, but it's terrible for anybody, but him especially.
There is no one solidified in front of him, which means that for the entire time that he is there during his rookie year, whether that is week one of the regular season, heck, week three of the preseason, whatever it is, all the way to the middle, to the end, they're going to question whether Josh Allen should be the starting quarterback. And I mean that on both ways, like whether he's starting or whether he's not. People are going to be wondering this way or the other because there's no quarterback there for him. And I think that makes it really hard because there's no other quarterback in this class that needed time to sit, right?
Right. I agree.
And so it's – oh, boy. For him to have success, not only in his rookie year but also for his NFL career, he is at an uphill climb because of where he got drafted.
Right.
And that is not just a rookie year thing. That is an outlook for the entirety of his rookie contract and perhaps what his NFL career ends up being, because you definitely don't want to shoot down the confidence of a quarterback, especially a young quarterback anyways. So it's tough. Not a great situation. You think Peterman starts week one?
I think Peterman starts week one. I think week six?
I think I'm with you.
Week six or seven?
Looking up the Bills schedule. Hold, please.
You got to find kind of that soft spot.
Phone music.
Well, you can put them in. You know, here's the thing. You're going to have Miami and the Jets on your calendar, which is always nice. So, you know, one of those games maybe.
Yeah, but they don't play Miami for the first time until week 13.
Yeah, that's not an option then. What about the Jets?
They don't play the Jets for the first time until week 10 and it's at New York.
Well, there goes that.
They don't play the Patriots until week 8.
Oh, what's going on? Who do they play? What division they play?
All right, so they open up. They open up at Baltimore.
Oh, they do play the AFC North.
Yeah, so they open up at Baltimore. Then it's at home versus the Chargers. Then at Minnesota. Then at Green Bay.
Oh my.
Then hosting the Titans. Then at the Houston Texans. Then at the Colts.
Maybe that Texan. Maybe the Colts. One of those two games, maybe. Colts is week 6.
Their bye week is until week 11.
So they're for sure starting 0-4, right?
Colts are week 7.
So this is going to be bad, right?
Oh my goodness, this is awful.
Yeah, this is probably not going to be good. Poor Josh.
I think he starts week 5.
Is that the Texans game?
No, that's the Titans game at home.
Possible. I think the Titans are going to be that upstart team this year.
Well, you might be right, but there's still. There's no way they're starting him at Minnesota or at Green Bay, right?
Right.
And then after the Titans in week 5, they go to the Houston Texans and to the Indianapolis Colts. And then their first home game back is the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. 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 So he's not starting week 1 or 2.
You either start him week 1, week 5, or week 9 or 10. Can you last 10 weeks with Nathan Peterman?
Nope, I don't think so. I think you're right. You're probably right. Week 5 or 6 seems like makes the most sense. All right, then who else for the Bills? Is there anything?
Jermaine Edmonds.
This was a brutal kind of year for their rookie class last year. They didn't have Zay Jones, super disappointing. You haven't got much out of Shaq Lawson. There's been kind of some disappointment here. The rumbling's kind of building. I feel like they need more out of these younger players. They're not getting it. I do feel like everybody's saying, well, they made the playoffs, but it feels like kind of an anomaly. Like the AFC was so bad last year. So bad. And I mean, I don't want to be that guy to Bills fans, but like if we're being honest, that was probably the reason. They did need help at linebacker. Tremaine Edmonds comes in and he's going to start. They have a lot of holes there. Lorenzo Alexander will play some. He's kind of a versatile type of player. Matt Milano had a good rookie season, the fifth rounder from last year, but they don't have anything outside of that. Tremaine Edmonds is going to start at middle linebacker. He's going to play every single game if he's healthy. He's going to be one of the guys that they rely on. And even if he struggles, which remember, Jared Davis struggled last year in Detroit. I think it'll be very similar for Edmonds. I think there'll be some ups and downs to his rookie season. He isn't really thinking the game that fast right now, but I think that that could change, and it did start to change over his last year at Virginia Tech. So an arrow pointing up guy. I think, again, if you're looking for what he does in terms of how many snaps he plays, he could lead this defense in snaps at the end of the season. If you're looking for a guy who's going to excel as a rookie for the Bills, I don't think it's him. I don't really think it's Harrison Phillips, who's going to probably be the third D tackle there and not really a contributor on passing downs behind Kyle Williams and Star Lutelele. I think it might be Wyatt Teller, the fifth rounder. The guard, remember, they lost Richie Incognito?
Teller was a guy who was super polarized, right? I mean, you watched
– Yeah.
You and I watched his tape, and his 2016 tape was real good, right?
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. No way he would have made it to the fifth round if he came out
just
then.
Didn't even look like the same guy, almost like mentality-wise, right, in 2017.
And I've heard it wasn't an effort thing. I know what the issues were. I don't want to put them out there per se, but I do think it's something that's fixable for him. And okay. I think withholding information
from the people. Okay. Yeah, I see.
Gotta protect the sources.
For once
in my life, gonna try and be a little professional. But I think that
Vlad Dukas thinks he's a different guy.
Knows it. Vlad Dukas is the one ahead of Wyatt Teller.
There it is.
I had to say his name. The only reason I said
couldn't get out of the Bills depth chart without saying
Vladimir Dukas. He can beat out Vlad Dukas. I'm not saying he's gonna be great, but I think Wyatt Teller starts.
He doesn't.
I think at the end of the year, Wyatt Teller, Josh Allen, and Tremaine Edmonds are all starting.
I think you might be right. I don't really see it with Cerrone Neal. I don't see it with Harrison Phillips.
Don't see it with Teron Johnson.
Yeah, I don't see it with Teron Johnson.
Maybe, but
Ray McLeod's. No, I don't really see it with him either.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be
if we got three starters from this Bills draft, those are the three.
And I don't know how great any of the three will be. I'm banking on Teller.
I think Edmonds will be fun.
He'll do some good things. I think it's going to be kind of a growing process for him. I wonder if Teller.
The whole Bills team is a growing process.
Oh, yeah, it is. And that's why I was okay with Edmonds. You know, I hated trading away the picks, but you get a guy like that, you're building toward the future anyway. That's fine.
The Buccaneers, thank you for your service.
Hey, man. How about the Dolphins? Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to pull. He might be another guy. You talk about a guy that never leaves the field. When's he come off the field? Never, right? Why would he come off the field?
It's either going to be Minkah or Kiko Alonso if he's healthy leading this team in snaps, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think Minkah or maybe Rashad Jones too. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be one of the
Oh, yeah. Rashad Jones plays a lot.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are going to never come off the field, basically.
I mean, Minkah's got a solidified position in base and in sub. So
right. The dude. Exactly.
The dude is not. Yeah, the dude's going to be in there all the time. I also think Mike Gesicki's going to play a lot.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
I think a lot.
He's the only guy. Well, I heard he was struggling in minicamp. It's early reports, but you know, when the early reports are so and so looks great, I'm like, well, okay, who cares? Like, but when you struggle in that environment, I do start to be okay. Well, is he having trouble picking up the offense? It's at least something to note. I'm not
sure
him or anything, but like,
nah, you're calling him a bust. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, basically everything I said he was pre-draft, I was right. So there you go.
Athletic freak.
He is that.
The pride of New Jersey.
We'll see.
Wait a second. They got two New Jersey dudes.
Yeah, their first two picks, right?
Oh, my gosh. This is the all-New Jersey team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got to trade for Quentin Nelson so it could truly be the all 2018 New Jersey team.
I'm not sure the Colts will give them up.
You know, they might.
What would Miami have to trade? No, we won't even go down that route.
No, let's do this.
There isn't a player on Miami's roster that's worth –
All right, what he can bring
to the table.
Laramie Tunsil and a first round pick.
Tunsil didn't even look that good last year.
Yeah, but potential.
You would have to give up picks.
That's what I'm saying. Laramie Tunsil and a first round pick for Quentin Nelson.
Nah, nope. Still wouldn't do it.
All right, what about Laramie Tunsil, a first round pick? Fart. No, and a third round pick.
I don't think you're going to find it.
You think Quentin Nelson's worth two first-round picks and Laremy Tunsil?
Okay, well, okay, if you throw multiple picks in there, it's like you can obviously get to enough first-rounders.
But all right, let's find the value.
If you're talking about just a player on Miami's team that is worth trading for Quentin Nelson, I would say Quentin Nelson is going to be a better player than everybody on Miami's roster. So they couldn't do it.
Would you trade?
All New Jersey team hope dies.
Man. All right.
You can't find a combination of players that's going to do it.
I'm trying
it's to. It's that bad. I mean, that's Miami's all right, not making the playoffs. Minka
Fitzpatrick Buffalo's and Raekwon McMillan.
No. Who?
You're right.
Minka and Raekwon? No, no, no.
You're right. I can't do that anyways because Minka is part of the all New Jersey squad. Right,
exactly. You got to keep him. Yeah. The New Jersey players could be their best guys.
All right. Cam Wake, who doesn't age.
He's like 38. But yeah, it's still good for sure.
Is Cam Wake like number two in terms of like terrifying guys at an old age with James Harrison number one?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't know if he's as mean as Harrison, but in terms of his looks.
No, he is.
He is just. He's a pass his body rusher. Is unbelievable. Do you ever look at Cam Wake's testing?
When yes.
He was coming out? Now, granted, he was 236 pounds, right? Remember, he played like off-ball linebacker at Penn State, kind of. Or like outside. He played like a versatile type role, I think. It was an afterthought as a prospect. Despite the fact that this dude at 6'2", 236, ran a 4.67, jumped, his vertical was 45 and a half inches.
You've got to pick. He went undrafted, right? Because he went to Canada. Yes.
Yeah.
You've got to pick him. You've got to pick him just off that. Because the explosion in his lower body is off the damn charts.
Just get him to field goal block. Just literally roster him for that.
Oh, man. It's what? Insane.
I mean, how do you jump 45 and a half inches to 236 pounds?
Dude, he could dunk at 11 years old.
Is that for real?
No, I don't know.
Oh, you just made that up. That sounded really good.
We need to get Cam Wake on the pod just to ask him that one question.
Yeah. His cones and shuttles were unreal, too. 7-1-2-3 cone and a 4-1-1 20-yard shuttle.
How did he not go drafted? Like, I get hindsight because he was smaller, whatever, but come on, man.
Sure, that's
alien-like athleticism.
Cam Wake, undrafted. I'm pretty sure he went undrafted. Yeah, he went undrafted in 2005.
That's what I'm saying.
That wouldn't happen today.
No.
You'd have some dude, what's his face? That D-tackle that worked out in PJ Hall or whatever? Went in the second round.
Oh, yeah.
His tape was trash. He didn't even play for a big school. He went in the second round just because he was that much of a freak.
Marcus Hunt, combine god.
Wake would be a top 100 pick today. But
anyway. You think?
Yes, I very much think.
Okay. No, I can get on both.
At least
that.
Top four rounds. Anyway, back to what we were actually talking about. Jerome Baker.
He's not going to start. No.
He's not starting.
Whole year,
he's got a chance to beat out Stephon Anthony, I guess, who's been kind of disappointing too. But either way, you're playing two linebackers almost all the time.
Yeah, but then what are you going to put Jerome Baker at Sam? Because you can't put Kiko Alonso at Sam.
Yeah. Bad.
And you can put Jerome Baker at Sam.
Yeah. Ugh. He's gonna play passing downs.
I can see
that type of guy.
Sure.
But here's the thing: Miami's base defense. Minka Fitzpatrick's gonna be a linebacker. Miami goes nickel. Minka Fitzpatrick's gonna play nickel. Miami goes three safeties. He's gonna play wherever they want him to play.
Maybe
that dude is not leaving the field. He shouldn't anyway.
You're right.
If he does, they're dumb.
And Kalen Ballage
has a chance to be good.
Kalen Ballage fits the bill of a running back group that already has Kenyon Drake, so.
Right. That was a weird pick. Like, are you picking Drake again? Because that's what it seems like, and I don't think Ballage is even as good as Drake.
Consistency is key, my good man.
And Frank Gore's here. I wouldn't count on much from Ballage. Wouldn't count on much from Durham Smythe except blocking. The keys, yeah, Gesicki and Fitzpatrick are going to play a lot. You're probably right. You'll have Smythe and Baker in certain down and distance roles for both offensively and defensively. Ballage will have to beat out Drake. Right? I mean, I don't even know how Frank Gore fits into this, except as like a veteran. I mean, I would rather roll with Kenyon Drake than Frank Gore. Drake looked freaking good last year, which I did not expect.
Drake's good. He's just not like your traditional running back, dude. He's just nice and athletic.
He's nice. He's just a nice guy and athletic.
No, I didn't even mean like a nice human being, but he might be. I don't know. Never met him. Never met the man.
Yeah. No. I mean,
I think he's got a nice skill set to be a committee back in today's NFL.
That's fair. I think that's that. I think he could be a good fit for what Miami wants to do. I just don't know how many. Like, I don't think you're going to see a lot of him as a rookie. To put it that way. How about the Pats? I'm talking about Bellagio. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was talking about Kenny and Drake.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
But they're the same skill set, so it's correct. Just how much you get out of them. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Go on.
I was going to say the Patriots. How are we feeling about their situation, given the fact that they have two first-rounders, Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel, and I think both
of them starting right away, right?
Yeah. I don't know. You don't take a running back in the first round if you're the Patriots, and you've survived off the committee running back approach for, oh, man.
I think the Patriots have three rookie starters week one.
Which is kind of unusual for the Patriots, I feel like.
Yeah.
You think Duke Dawson is the other, the nickel.
I mean, I do. I don't really see, unless...
Yeah, I don't see what would keep him from it.
Unless they want to put Rowe at nickel, which I...
He's played there so far in his career, but he's like a big nickel type of guy.
Right. I wouldn't. And then if you think Cyrus Jones can beat out Duke Dawson, which I don't.
Patriots are kind of unusual. I think Duke Dawson will play.
Oh, you don't say.
I think Duke Dawson will play. Will he start? I don't know. Because you're going to have Gilmore and McCourty on the outside.
Dude, what the hell is this Patriots running back group? What is this? Rex Burkhead, Jeremy Hill.
Yeah. He's going to get cut.
Sony Michelle, Ralph Webb, James White, Mike Gillisley, Brandon Bolden.
Walk with me through this.
Brandon Bolden still getting paid by the Patriots?
Special teams, dude. One of the best special team players in the NFL.
Brandon Bolden is?
Yes. He's excellent.
I mean, I guess. Yeah. I don't. I know. I mean, I can't really pay that much attention to special team dudes.
I just know from what people say that he is phenomenal in that role. And Patriots care about that. More than any other team in the league, probably.
Patriots have 8 running backs.
Yeah, so Sony Michel's a lock to make the team. James White's a lock to make the team. And Rex Burkhead's a lock to make the team. What are you keeping? 4 running backs? Because you're keeping Devlin, so there's a fullback.
I mean, they have to keep Bolden, right? If what you're saying is true.
They're either keeping special teams ace Bolden, red zone, inside the 5, goal line back Mike Gillisley, or a back who doesn't do anything well in Jeremy Hill.
Wow, rib.
Jeremy Hill, I said before the draft, was I had a 4th-round grade on him, and I didn't know anything at this point, and I knew he was bad. And then he came out and had that productive rookie season. Wasn't really great, but it was productive because his offensive line was unbelievable. And then people found out he actually couldn't do anything in the next couple years. And so, yeah, I'm definitely planting that flag. Jeremy Hill is getting cut from the Patriots. He's not making this team. Tell me where he makes this team.
Who, Jeremy Hill?
Yeah.
No, why would he make this team?
Exactly.
No.
So even if they keep 5 backs, he'll get cut. How about put it that way? But if they keep 5 backs and James Devlin, that's a crazy amount of resources dedicated to your backfield. So
yeah, Patriots have a really weird.
Yeah, it's strange because I would never have thought the Patriots were taking a running back in the first round, even though Sony Michel fits what they do great.
Yeah, which it's a good pick that now that it happened. Right,
it leads me to believe though, like if the Patriots went into the year with James White, Rex Burkhead, Mike Gillisley, you would feel fine about it. They've gotten production out of everybody before, so you feel fine about it. The fact that they prioritized Sony Michel to the degree that they did as a first round pick makes me believe this dude is going to be the guy.
Oh, he's starting week one. No, I'm with you.
He's starting. I think
Isaiah Wynn starts week one too. I think Duke Dawson starts week one. So
yeah, and I think Isaiah Wynn will start at tackle. I do. I think they're going to give him a shot.
I think Braxton Berrios might be their punt return guy, but the Patriots have like a bunch of dudes
who do
the punt return thing. So.
Don't do that. Don't do the Braxton Berrios is making this team. Do you think he's making this team?
No.
Which, by the way, if you laughed at their running backs, you're going to really laugh at their wide receivers.
I'm looking at their wide receiver core right now, and I'm like, okay, never mind. Berrios is not making this team.
I did not think Cordarrelle Patterson was even in the league. Actually, I didn't think he was with New England.
They would have to cut either Cordarrelle Patterson, Philip Dorsett, Kenny Britt.
Kenny Britt's here too.
They would have to cut all of those guys in order to keep Berrios.
Jordan Matthews is here. My goodness, what a bunch of cast-offs.
They're not going to cut Jordan
Patterson,
Matthews.
Dorsett, and Matthews are all
here. I still believe in Jordan Matthews, okay?
Do you still believe in Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yes.
Still believe in Patterson?
Wait, hold on. I answered that before I listened. I heard. Did you say Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yes, sir.
Yes!
Well done. Keep that belief alive.
If wide receiver
just
one,
been
baby.
In New England from the beginning, then he could have figured it out. Man, that's quite a group right there. Hogan and Edelman make it. Malcolm Mitchell makes it if he's healthy.
Brady's about to make Cordarrelle Patterson Randy Moss-like.
Oh, my.
The
who makes it then next? Because if you've got Hogan, Edelman, and Mitchell there, Slater is, again, they've been like one of the best special teams guys in the league.
Well, they
is he
going to
make
like,
it?
Save all these rosters for being really good at punt coverage.
But they do. That's the thing.
It's got to run out.
Patriots are weirder than they've been in the past.
Anyways,
Danny Etling make the team. Does he make it?
Guys on the roster?
Danny Etling.
Who gives a frick?
True. Good point. He's not going to make it. Well, they didn't sign Hackenberg.
I mean, he
right?
might make it if they keep three quarterbacks, but that'd be stupid.
Yeah. He's not beating out Brian Hoyer.
No.
How about the New York Jets?
The New York Football
Jets. Goodness. What do we have here? When is Sam Wise-Darnold going to be in this lineup? Now, here's the thing. McCown is good enough to start the whole season.
He's going to start.
Like, he's not a great quarterback, but he's like in the 20s, and he deserves to start when you look across and you say, are there 32 better quarterbacks than Josh McCown in the league? No. And that's basically the story of Josh McCown's career. Every year, you've looked out and you've said, are there 32 better quarterbacks than Josh McCown? The answer was no, so he continues to start.
Bro, the Jets' schedule's a joke.
Is it?
Okay. All right, so we both assume that Josh McCown's starting week one, right?
Right.
That's at the Detroit Lions. Then they host the Dolphins. He's not getting replaced then. At the Browns, not getting replaced then. At the Jaguars, he'll take his lumps there. Hosting the Broncos, hosting the Colts, hosting the Vikings. But then on the road, Chicago, Miami. So I think the only time that, man, where are they going to struggle enough to put Darnold in?
Yeah, that's my big question.
I don't know.
My big question is, if you look at this and you say the Jets quarterback room leads the way for Sam Darnold to start early on, I don't know that I would agree with that. Because
I know I don't.
If Teddy balls out, let's say Teddy's back to full health or back to healthy, back to somewhere near where he was before or moving in that direction, which the reports have been good so far. We've got a weird situation on our hands in New York because McCown is good enough to start and probably not going to be the biggest issue on this roster and was doing very well for them last year before he got hurt. He will get hurt at some point because if there's one thing we know about Josh McCown, he leaves it on the line for the team, hashtag grit.
Bro, him taking that helicopter hit at the goal line?
Yes. He will sacrifice the body and end up hospitalized because of it. He'll be okay, but the reality is you're going to end up looking at the number two spot at some point in the season.
One of my favorite pictures in the world is when Josh McCown was with the Bucs. And there's one day in training camp where they have like an icy truck come by. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of the fans who are in attendance get like these free icies. Normally Gerald McCoy rents it out. And then after practice, they usually like have the kicker kick a 50-yard field goal with like 30 minutes left in practice, and if he makes it, they end practice early and all the players get to go get like slushies and icies or whatever. And Josh McCown runs over and gets his like strawberry icy, and he tries to eat it too fast and gets a massive brain freeze and then pukes back up. And there's a picture of him just like puking his icy up from a brain freeze, and it's one of my favorite pictures.
Phenomenal. That grit couldn't put something like that in his body. It's a temple of the Lord.
I don't know where Darnold comes in. I really don't.
It's going to be fascinating to see. And again, if Bridgewater goes out and sucks and can't recover, it's a different story. But
But Darnold is taking over this year, right?
You know, it's super unusual for a rookie not to get any
chance. He has to.
I think at some point he will, but at that point, will the Jets season be over? And will he be getting those reps because of that?
But I don't know, because the schedule is so easy that I don't know. The only way that I see it, man.
Maybe we're giving Josh McCown too much credit. I don't know.
I see an opening. Yeah, but like the Jets were surprising last year, weren't they?
Right. And McCown was a big reason why he played really well.
I mean, so the way I see it is week three they play at Cleveland, and then week four they play at the Jaguars. If they lay an egg versus the Browns and get whooped up on, and then obviously get smacked up by the Jaguars defense the next week, that might be back-to-back bad McCown weeks, and I could see them with a three-game homestand coming up in week five, six, and seven.
Right.
Them making the move right there. Even though it is Broncos, Colts, Vikings, I could see them making the move there.
There's going to be windows where it gets talked about, but it's hard to like identify with. Like, there's no way. Baker Mayfield's going to start by midseason. Josh Allen will be in there by midseason. Rosen will probably be in there by like week three, even if he doesn't win the starting job outright because Bradford will get hurt. But yeah, it's harder to see a path for Darnold to start early on. Lamar should start week one just because Joe Flacco's cooked. But
my large adult on Nathan Shepard starting week one.
Nathan Shepard's got to contribute early, at least on passing downs. They don't have the same defensive line they've had in the past. I know they brought in Henry Anderson, but he's not a pass rush threat. McClendon's not a pass rush threat. You've got to get Shepard some run on those downs. Make the game.
Yep.
Keep it simple for him. Let him go to work on those downs. Eventually build him up. Man, who else did they pick? Perry Nickerson? He's not going to play.
Chris Herndon, right?
Herndon, yeah. You know, fourth rounder. There's not much ahead of him.
Budakovsky's kind of in the same realm as like Nathan Shepard, yeah. Although picked a lot of picks after him, right. More than 100. But like Budakovsky was a guy who I watched the East-West Shrine game who could flash off the snap, which can get you some good pass rush reps here and there. I know we've talked about this before, but it was very weird with how he wasn't voted highly amongst the coaches within his conference. Just a very weird thing. So I'm interested to see how that plays out, kind of his effort, how quickly he could climb the depth chart in New York and see if he could be one of those rotational interior linemen that are going to be able to give the Jets the pass rush they need. Cause I think he does have the skill set to be able to do that early on, but we'll just have to see.
There you go. There's your look at the AFC East, folks. Good stuff all the way across the board. Until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.